open a public hearing on Senate Bill 161. And Marjorie, do you wish to tell us about the amendment?
Sure. Senator Fisher and members of the committee, Senate Bill 161 had a public hearing on the 3rd of February, and this bill is related to the Commission for the Blind and their vending facilities, and just making sure that state agencies don't charge those operators for rent and utilities. At that time, ODOT expressed the fact that they have some constitutionally protected funds that they can't use to pay for utilities. So we have the Dash 3 amendment, which exempts ODOT from basically provisions of this measure.
Okay. Ray Milovich, you wish to come? We'll give you a chance to put this on record. I would surmise that this is basically the subject of your handout.
Dear Chairman Fisher, members of the committee, Commission for the Blind feels that the new language of the amendment is acceptable, and we would like to move this bill on forward. The bill would meet the basic goal of continuing the practice of not charging rent or utilities to individual blind operators in public buildings managed by DOS. And we urge that your support of this bill, which is vital to the continued employment of the Oregon blind operators.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
It's captured Senator Quarterly.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we have put race and I won't.
I didn't have a chance to bet on the race. That's the bad part. We've just introduced the Dash 3 proposed amendment to Senate Bill 161, and Mr. Milovich, the director of the Business Enterprise Program, has given his testimony, and that was the only testimony we had. Is there anyone further in the audience that wish to have testimony? Okay. I will close the public hearing then. Thank you very much, and we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 161.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 161.
Senator Morissette has moved the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 161. Is there any discussion? Objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I guess the next step.
I move Senate Bill 161 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
As amended.
Thank you.
Senator Morissette moves that Senate Bill 161 as amended go to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Further
discussion. Excuse me. Hearing none. Will the clerk call a roll?
Senator Brown.
Aye.
Senator Burney.
Aye.
Corno?
Aye.
Senator
Starr? Aye.
Senator Morissette?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Carrier?
Yes. Do we have a... Senator Starr will be the carrier here, and we will consider the bill passed and the work session closed on Senate Bill 161. Let's see, do we want to do a public hearing here, I guess? That will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 162 and ask staff to give us a rundown of that.
Chair Fisher, members of the committee, Senate Bill 162 had its initial public hearing on the 29th of January. This is from the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, just modifying the statutes related to license renewal and board membership. We do have the Dash 2 amendment, which just clarifies what a completed license renewal application consists of and also addresses the timeline for lapse and restoration of the license renewal.
Okay. And Greg Garcia wishes to testify here, so we'll come right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. The amendments to the Senate Bill 162, we support completely and want to thank the Legislative Council for how they drafted that before us. The purpose for the amendment here is to make it clear in terms of when someone's license lapses, it removes language that revoked their license, which the board feels is a fairly severe consequence. So this is adding that language, and we really appreciate the amendment as written.
I don't know that we asked before, but has that been a problem of having a lot of people not renew?
Well,
or renew promptly?
Right. I mean, I think that there's probably a percentage that, you know, sometimes come in after the end of the year. It just depends. Most people come in before the end of January. So I think that this is really going to serve, I think, as far as administratively. The board last year started publishing, you know, consequences on members' licenses as far as disciplinary, so we wanted to really clean this up as far as that goes.
I welcome the pages today. We enjoyed your services there in our Senate session today, and thank you for coming. Okay, further, any questions of Dr. Garcia? Thank you very much. Anyone else wish to give further testimony? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 162 and open a work session on Senate Bill 162. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would move the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 162.
Senator Brown has moved the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 162. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 162 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Brown moves Senate Bill 162 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Burdick? Senator Florno?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Senator Marquette?
Aye.
Senator Fisher?
Aye. Motion carries. Senator Brown, do you wish to carry?
I'd love to, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we'll allow that. I'm gratified at the quick response. I will declare that Senate Bill 162 is passed on to the floor of the Senate, and Senator Brown will be the carrier, and we will close the work session on Senate Bill 162. Okay, we have a hearing now open on Senate Bill 164.
Mr. Chairman of the Committee, Senate Bill 164 also had its initial public hearing on the 29th of January and is also from the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, and it clarified the board membership and terms. We do have two amendments that were requested by the committee. The first amendment establishes term limits for the board members so that no member can serve more than two terms. The second amendment clarifies that the board members would have to work full-time 5 years before, 5 consecutive years before serving on the board. However, I understand that Dr. Marzell, who initially testified on that, probably has some comments on those amendments.
I call Dr. Marzell to the hearing stand here and would entertain your comments.
Thank you, Senator Fisher. I would like to withdraw the first requested amendment in regards to full-time practice for doctors. This was originally brought to the committee with the hope that we would get a sure experience for members who are going to serve on the Board of Examiners. The committee has brought up several problems with the term full-time, and we, after speaking with several people in my group, we agree with the committee that this is too cumbersome a term. Also, on review of the legal term continuously, it seems to prohibit gaps in the training and practice as would be encountered by a one-day-a-week practitioner. So we're happy with the the current terminology and would like to withdraw that particular amendment.
And then the dash one amendment.
In regards to...
Yes, I understand, but I'm going to have to go ahead and speak to the... Yes, so were there questions on the dash two amendment?
Oh, no.
I think she basically answered all of our... Go ahead.
You want me to speak to the other amendment? The other amendment just limits the terms for two terms per board member. We feel this is appropriate and fair to other people who may want to serve on the Board of Examiners. All boards in the state have a limit of two terms, such as the medical board, the psychology board. I have actual the denturist board, the veterinary board, physical therapist board, electrodermatologist board, like I said, massage board, respiratory therapist board. And we just feel that this is a fair thing to do, give other people a chance to serve on the board.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, at that meeting, at the January 29th meeting, it was discussed which boards have term limits and which don't, and I did a quick survey from the online directory and website, and in fact I'll pass out a paper to you in which I think 9 boards have specific term limits outlined. Just in a quick survey.
Questions?
Senator Morsef.
These are elected positions, right?
No, they're appointed positions by the governor's office.
Oh, okay.
So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you can see that the dietitians, the mortuary board, nursing home administrators, occupational therapy, pharmacy, physical therapists, radiologic technology, psychologists, examiners, and clinical social workers. Just in a quick survey, all of them have a two-year limit.
Two-term
limit.
You note on the Board of Dentistry, they've got a 4-year term and hold until filled.
Yeah.
Is it just one 4-year term?
Well, in my quick read, it looked like they have a 4-year term, and then the person serves until a new person's appointed. So sometimes it doesn't go as...
But it doesn't say they can't be reappointed.
It doesn't specifically say that.
So
but again,
guess,
that was really quick reading.
Yeah, I would guess then that probably they don't have a...
And like massage therapists...
Or
I saw someplace in statute that they have a 4-year term and they serve at the pleasure of the governor. It's possible that I missed something. Speech pathology and audiology, looks like they have a 3-year term, but they're eligible for reappointment. Same thing with professional counselors and therapists.
Okay.
This isn't a comprehensive list. But
okay, may I ask?
Yes.
Have there been those who do not favor term limits? I mean, is there an argument against term limits?
Yeah, we have another person to testify here.
Okay.
I was curious, how many naturopaths are there in the state?
Who are licensed and practicing in this state? I would say there's about 250. Dr. Garcia represented there were about twice the number at the prior hearing, but I think he was talking about who have been licensed in the state, but many are practicing outside of the state.
Mm-hmm. So you actually would have a cadre of about...
And we graduate a class of about 60, I think, at least 60 a year. So there are
50 or so, roughly, that would be eligible at any given time to serve on the board, or would have that 250, how many of them would have practiced for 5 years? Because that five-year clause in the state is still in there.
There are quite a few who have been in practice at least 5 years.
But there would be somewhat less than 250 with the five-year.
Yeah, I'm just giving an approximate number.
Yeah, I was just trying to secure in my mind How many would be available for appointment? Because out of 250, some would not have served the 5 years or practiced for the 5 years yet, and some would have no desire to be appointed, and so forth. So it would limit, to some extent, the amount you'd have to draw from.
Right, but if two terms would be 6 years and 6 years of graduating class in addition. So I think there's plenty of people who have been in practice, who are experienced and who are interested in serving on the Board of Examiners.
Any information as to how the number is increasing from year to year, or is it kind of five retire and five come in, or that kind of thing?
I don't think a lot of people that I know are retiring. They seem to enjoy practicing a long time, and from what I understand, the graduating classes are running probably about 80, from what I've been told. I'm not directly associated with the school. But
obviously, they're not all going to practice here.
That's correct.
Because if you'd had 80 over 3 years, you'd have your 250 right there, and obviously we've had people practicing. So I don't. I was just trying to ascertain in my mind, you know, when you start limiting things, and if you don't have enough to draw on, you can soon wear out good people.
I don't think we've had too many people that have wanted to serve more than two terms.
My understanding is that they didn't have much of a record of anybody serving over two terms, so it could make this kind of a moot situation anyway.
I think by putting it into statute, as other boards have done, it does allow other people to apply and serve on the board that may not be able to otherwise. It's an incentive to apply if people are just reappointed for term after term. It's difficult.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Dr. Garcia?
Thank you, Senator Fisher, members of the committee. This bill was sponsored by the Board of the Naturopathic Examiners. The amendments were not, and I just want to be on record that we don't support the amendments. I'm glad to see the first one withdrawn, and I do not support the term limits. The first point I want to make is we are appointed by the governor's office. So the governor's office is the one that essentially decides if someone will be reappointed and then sent to the Senate for approval or not. As Dr. Marzell indicated, there has been no concern or in recent history of members serving more than two terms. The other point I want to make is that the level of complexity for naturopathic physicians operating in this state as close to primary care as you can get, to compare the complexity of that with concerns about public safety, with massage therapists as an example, it's in my mind, apples and oranges. I think that the amount of time it takes for a board member to become familiar with the issues and then be able to be effective for the state and for the licensees simply needs time for them to become skilled. Interesting in terms of the information that Ms. Marjorie Taylor presented, I believe that 4-year terms, in my mind, just make sense. And many of these boards then have like 2 4-year terms, which is 8 years as opposed to six. 6 years is really a short amount of time, I think, to be able to handle issues that we're looking at in terms of our formulary. So the amount of time for someone to come up to speed and then work on a project, I just feel like it's an unnecessary restriction as far as serving the needs of the state. There are 496 licensed naturopaths in the state of Oregon, so I want to make sure you understand in terms of the numbers that that is a current number. There are 496 licensed in Oregon, an additional 70 inactive licenses, so we're really looking at almost 570 licensees that we are basically keeping tabs with. So I think in my mind, the other thing that the sponsor of the amendment, having served on the state board, that we have a public public agenda, and we hear if there's a concern about something and it has never been addressed either by the sponsoring institution, the NMEI, or other members, that there's a concern about the length of term limits for board members. So I'm not aware of any significant displeasure at not having term limits for our board.
I noticed that the Board of Medical Examiners is not on this list. The nurses are not on this list.
That's just a survey.
Yeah, well, I understand, but I don't know that they are, and it looks like the dentists aren't limited. And as far as somebody holding office until somebody else has filled it, that's pretty much was decided by a court case that we had here over one of the boards that we appointed people to, and it was ruled against us because our feeling was that if a person was not accepted, replace them, that then the person that they were to be replaced would leave at the end of his term. The court said no, they could serve it at will until somebody had been appointed to replace them. So that would probably hold true for every board.
Yeah.
Just in a matter of and I don't know what would happen at the end of a two-year term, where some of these have a two-year term limitation, whether they would still continue to serve until somebody filled their place, or just how that would work on that, because I don't believe that was a part of the lawsuit that said mm-hmm. someone could fill and continue to stay on a board until their place is filled.
If I may add that, you know, the bill originally was to increase the board from 5 to 7 members. Mm-hmm. And so I also feel it's a particularly strategic time to not have that kind of limitation, because I think having two new board members come on, if this bill is passed, just having, and then we're going to have to stagger the term so that not everyone has to be reappointed at the same time. I think that just assures the best effectiveness for the state board.
Are you not on a rotation now?
I know that there's 3 members of our board that I believe have to be either reappointed or new members done this current session. So I think that there is somewhat of a staggered approach, but with just 5 members on a board, that is that's a significant change. And then to go up to 7, you know, the potential could be that there could be 5 new board members, and that's, I don't think that serves the needs or the interests of the state.
Would this take effect immediately to anybody that was there, or would this go out into the future, allowing somebody that was on the board now for, say, 2 terms, could they go on for 2 more terms of appointment, or...
That's a good question. I'm not sure about when how that would affect current members. But even as a current board member, you know, I the governor would have to reappoint me. So it's really the governor's office that I think makes the decision about who they want to appoint for board membership.
Okay, that's interesting. I was just pointing out here, excuse me, Senator Morissette, nothing in this, section 2 sub 2 of Senate Bill 164 says nothing in this 2003 Act affects the term of office of any member of the Board of Naturopathic Examiners appointed prior to and serving on the effective date. Mm-hmm. This 2003 Act, however, as vacancies occur, appointments shall be made in accordance with the requirements specified in this 2003 Act. So,
is it just for sure you would have 2 additional terms?
So it would look like that would apply for 2 additional terms.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Morissette.
Thank you. Now, it's been my experience as, for instance, the mayor of Springfield, whenever there's an opening on a board in my area, I always got a letter, received a letter, letting me know that there is an opening. Now, how widely does your organization know when a term is up? I mean, do a number of people apply for a position usually? Do they have the opportunity to apply?
That's a great question. As far as my experience goes, I'm just completing my first term. I'm hitting my 3 years this spring. And I think that the current board members are aware of when our terms expire, but most of that information, for me, has come through the governor's office. So I'm not familiar with how they select or how they determine who to recommend for appointment. It's not something that comes up on our agenda, for an example. We don't discuss candidates or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's really something that I think comes through the governor's office.
May I follow?
Yes.
Well, I guess I would feel comfortable without having term limits, I guess, if people were aware of the openings and had the opportunity to apply. I mean, I guess to me, if it's a closed system and the end of a term comes and a person is automatically reappointed and nobody other has a chance to apply, that might concern.
And I think the interest that we have is to have as broad a representation as possible. We have a board member who's licensed for obstetrics, as an example. I'm also dual licensed as an acupuncturist. Mm-hmm. We have someone from Eastern Oregon and La Grande. So I think we do try and make sure that we get a broad representation of the state as far as that goes.
May I ask?
In response to your question, Senator Morissette, the last board position that was available was because one of the board members was leaving earlier than her term was due. Mm-hmm. No one was publicly made aware that she was leaving early. And when we were finally made aware that she was leaving early, the decision to replace her had already been made, even though several people didn't know that and sent in applications. In this instance, the replacement person was a friend of the person leaving who had never attended a board meeting, never had attended a state association meeting that I'm aware of, and had expressed no interest whatsoever in the board. We would like to see more people who are interested in the board have the opportunity, at least, to apply for the positions. And in regards to the medical board, I did call them specifically. They do have term limits. At least that's what they said to me.
Who had term limits?
The medical board you mentioned you had a question about.
It wasn't on this list.
I guess I'm still kind of puzzled about notification of an opening on any board or commission. I mean, it seems to me that there has to be a public posting and that the members of the association would all receive a notice saying there is an opening and you should apply to the governor's office to fill that open. I mean, that makes sense. And if it isn't happening, it should be. I don't know if you can answer that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a nice way, and I think an appropriate way to announce openings. I'm just not familiar with how the governor's office selects candidates or what their procedure is for that. And the other, if I may make one last short comment, is that I would be interested to know how long a length is at the Board of Medical Examiners. I'd be surprised if it's a 3-year term. I just would. It may be.
I'm guessing it's 4 years.
It's a 4 year, so you're looking at 8 years there.
I'm getting a nod from someone that knows.
May I?
Yeah, we've got Senator Starr wanting to break.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. He did ask for.
Go ahead, Senator Starr.
Thank you. First of all, I wanted to say that I'm supportive of the term limits, but I see within the act as written here a conflict that is very apparent. We're asking the increase to 7 members, and then in the section 2 on line 25, it says that term of office of no more than 2 of the members of the board can expire in the same year. We got 3-year terms, 7 members. You got a problem there.
Very good. You learned your math. Yes, Senator Morrison.
Well, thank you. And I was going to suggest perhaps that we change then the term to 4 years instead of 3 years if we're going to have the term limits and be able to stagger if we could do that more easily and on a 2-year.
I can see this simple little bill gaining momentum.
Well, I would also want some assurance that there is notification in your membership. I mean, we don't have to put that in the bill, but I think you ought to have it in your bylaws that each member will be notified when an opening occurs, you know, when a term is up, to apply, whether or not there are term limits, to apply to the governor if they're interested in that.
As Senator Moore said, I was going to just ask a question. It might, without getting terribly personal, if Dr. Garcia would tell us how he found out there was an opening on the board that he could apply for 3 years ago.
I'm a full-time professor at the Naturopathic Medical School, and so I think
there's an inordinate amount of effort put into certifying every association member, in fact, every member of the society.
Could you come and come and identify yourself here?
My name is Dr. Aris Campbell. I'm the legislative chair for the state association. And so I've, as such, watched numerous members be appointed, be recommended, and made sure that people were notified that there was an open position. We've put an inordinate amount of effort into notifying.
Thank you.
It's a big deal.
Good.
And we do it. I mean, when you start talking about Ashland, we want to represent Ashland. There's a limited amount of people down there. I mean, we don't want to limit them and end of their representation. And it does become a problem after a while trying to get people who are willing to serve in different areas and different demographics. That there was a time when we wanted to make sure we had enough women on the board. And limiting that is going to be a problem.
It would appear to me, staff, that we have a mathematical problem here that Senator Starr is...
But do we?
I don't think
you do, because if you have one member
says no more than two
leave this year, two members the next, two members the next, two members
well,
the
whoa,
next.
Whoa, but the three has already gone, and the third one has to be done on the fourth year.
But if you have...
And no more than three...
Let me spend a little time with my piece of paper.
Do we need a recess here?
No, you can keep going. I don't think you have a problem.
Three times two is six.
Well, I guess yes. I'm aware of that.
Very good.
I took calculus.
Oh, that's not a calculus.
No, but still. You have to get somewhere with that.
Get Archimedes or somebody here to decide.
Can't you solve the problem if one of the seven leaves this year, two of the seven leave next year, two of the seven leave the following, two of the and then the newly appointed people this year leave the third year, and you just keep cycling.
But the first guy comes on the third year too, and there can only be a maximum of two appointed every year, according to the bill.
Look what you did, Senator Starr.
They wouldn't make mistakes.
Mr. Chair, why don't you amend it to 4 years instead of 3 years? Is 3 years, you say 6 years, isn't it?
Well, we still wind up with the same problem with seven people getting elected.
No.
Well, four years, I guess you could spread it out.
You might have to.
I'm going to take a chairman's prerogative and get this discussed before we go any further, because there's no sense in working this out. And I guess that I would like to have the folks here, both sides of the issue, get together and discuss this matter of 4 years and the amount of replacements on any given year. And if you want to stick with the three-year, decide to do that, then we've got to amend the other so that we don't restrict it enough that we can't get our seven people on there. If you want to go to 4 years, we're probably okay leaving that other in. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Is there any particular reason to continue a hearing on this matter? Were there any further questions about the subject of actually of term limits? I don't see any from up here. Uh, I'm going to ask that those that have been representing the issue here on the both sides get together, and they can work with staff. And does any legislator wish to have input on this? Okay, Senator Starr, go ahead. And I think with four involved, we can probably come up with someone talking back and forth with their lobbyists or representatives and those kind of things. We can come up and get this thrashed out, but if there isn't any sense in passing the bill, we know it's got a problem. Thank you, Senator Starr, for your careful reading. I hadn't even dreamed about that process. And that looks like that was there regardless of whether we put term limits or not. when we expand to seven. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 162, and thank you all for thank you all for your testimony here, and we will go on to Senate Bill 393, and I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 393 and ask Dr. Kyle and Dr. Garcia and Dr. Campbell to come forward.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 393 has not had a public hearing, and it adds naturopathic physicians to the list of medical professionals who can conduct physical exams for students who are participating in school sports.
I want to go ahead before we get started further. I just got a note from someone that knows and quoted an ORS here that the medical board is a three-year term, and it is limited to two consecutive terms. So we're all now better educated. Thank you, Tim. I wouldn't have questioned your nod before because I thought it was a four-year term myself. Go ahead, Doc.
Mr. Chairman, Art Kyle representing the Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and with me is Dr. Harris Campbell, who, is, as he's mentioned previously, is the chairman of the Legislative Committee. The bill before you, Senate Bill 393, is a bill to rectify an oversight on the part of the Department of Education. Last legislative session, a bill, Senate Bill 160, passed from this committee, which authorized physical examinations for any secondary school students to take part in athletics. It went into conference, and during the conference committee, the Naturopathic Association did not testify because it was our conclusion that physicians included naturopathic physicians in this instance. We wrote a letter to the Department of Education, Superintendent Stan Bunn, at the time, advising him of our position. I subsequently met with the superintendent, and he said he would be happy if I would get a legal opinion. And so the Board of Naturopathic Examiners did authorize a legal opinion, which I've shared with you, that stated that naturopathic physicians are included as in the definition of a physician, and would normally be included in the statute having to do with sports physicals. Following that, I ran into a rather unique experience. I met the bureaucracy of the Department of Education head on. And some of you know I came from the bureaucracy.
You know, it wasn't by cell phone.
No. But I never run into anything like this. I've been shuffled around from pillar to post in the Department of Education. They didn't like that Attorney General's opinion, and they wanted their own opinion to counter the Attorney General's opinion. And that has gone on for 2 years with numerous telephone calls and personal visits and so on, and I'm in the same position I was at the end of last session. So the association has decided there's only one solution to this, since the Department of Education is entrenched on this position, would be to submit a piece of legislation defining naturopathic physicians within the statute so there'd be no problem. the administrative rule, and I know Senator Clarno and Senator Brown both said to me I should talk to Susan Castillo, and I've been unable to match her schedule with my schedule to do that. But the association strongly feels that the statute change would be important because this type of an issue that needs to go through administrative rule process can be changed to administrative rule, in essence, the next day. So we submit to you the bill that does nothing more than put naturopathic physicians under the statute that defines sports physical.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Brown.
Just a quickie question. My recollection, my stepdaughter had a physical from the doc next door on a short notice, and my recollection, it was basically weight, height, make sure you could see, and make sure your heart was beating. Is that about correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, that's the kind of physical I got when I went out for athletics.
Thank you.
Dr. Campbell's going to explain how to do a real physical. I brought Dr. Campbell along to testify briefly on the fact that naturopathic physicians commonly do physical examinations for adults and youngsters as well. So I'll stop it.
Go ahead, Dr. Campbell.
Thank you for your the opportunity to officially speak to you. Naturopathic physicians are trained in school specifically to not be specialists. We are family practice doctors by definition. I did a residency in family practice and have a little thing up on my wall that says I'm a family practice doctor. During that residency, part of my duties were to teach second-year students how to do physicals. If you're the kind of the underling physician, and we have been for years, you'd better do a better job than everybody else. When you go in and see a naturopathic physician for a physical, at least this one, you don't just get height and weight. In fact, most of the time people comment to me, I've never had a physical like that before. And there are a lot of things that you can perform, and we do very thorough physical exams. They're every bit as, you know, my partner is an MD, and he does physical exams for ODOT the same as I do. And he's a little more lax about it. He has less of a burden of scrutiny on him. He does a good physical, and I don't think he misses things, but it is a little like your experience. That's pretty common. Our education is every bit as rigorous as far as our ability to do physical exams, and we are held to the letter of the law, and we are scrutinized by our board, as Dr. Garcia would tell you, if we do a bad physical.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Dr. Garcia, were you opting out on this one?
Yeah.
You had signed up here, so I didn't want to deny you an opportunity to be on the hot seat again. Okay. Any questions? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Looks like we may be able to proceed to a work session on this one. So I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 393 and open a work session on Senate Bill 393.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 393 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr moves Senate Bill 393 to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there a further comment? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Burdick? Senator Clarno?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Senator Morissette?
Aye.
And Senator
Higgins? Aye. Motion carries. Senator Starr, do you wish to be a carrier here today? All right. Senator Starr will carry the bill, and Senate Bill 393 is passed. I'm going to briefly go back into Senate Bill 164 for a public hearing for the purposes of putting a letter on the record. So I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 164. We have a letter here from Daniel M. Hart, naturopathic doctor, indicating that he supports two-term limits for the members of the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners. So we will enter that on the record. It was a public work session, a public hearing on Senate Bill 164. Is there further business to come before the board or the committee? Hearing none, we'll adjourn.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.